Cape Talk.
The US Report.
The US Report with Adrian Bruni, all the way from Manhattan in New York. A very good morning to you. Adrian, how are you doing this morning?
Hi, Abs. I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's just one of those things where South Africa, sometimes we can have very, very double standards when it comes to certain things, but we're going to work with it. We're still working with these things. But nonetheless, Adrian, we look at what's happening in the United States. Otherwise, how was your weekend? Did you have a lovely weekend?
It was quiet, Abs, except there was a lot going on across the street. At the UN.
I have no doubt. But okay, let's get down to business. North Korea is in the news again. What's the latest?
Yep. So in response to two intercontinental ballistic missile tests in July, on Saturday, the United Nations Security Council imposed new sanctions on North Korea that could slash by a third the Asian state's $3 billion annual export revenue. So the U.S. drafted resolution bans North Korea exports of coal, iron, iron ore, lead ore, and seafood. It also prohibits countries from increasing the current numbers of North Korean laborers working abroad, bans new joint ventures with North Korea, and any new investment in current joint ventures. So the United States negotiated with China for a month on the resolution, and China's foreign minister said on Sunday that new sanctions on North Korea were the right response to a series of missile tests, but dialogue was vital to resolve a complex and sensitive issue. I have for you a clip of U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, explaining the sanctions and why they went through with them.
Well, I think what everybody needs to understand is the revenue that goes into North Korea doesn't go in to feed its people who are starving.
Right.
Instead, what it's doing is it's going to fund the reckless nuclear program. So if we reduce the hard currency, we're reducing the funding that allows them to do that. Secondly, we hope that they take note. We hope that they realize this was the international community speaking in one voice, saying that this activity has to stop. They now have a decision to make. This was a gut punch to North Korea today. They can either now take heed and say, okay, let's stop. Let's start being responsible and let's see another avenue. Or they can continue what they're doing, and the international community will continue to respond.
Hmm.
A gut punch to North Korea.
Oh, man. All right. But you also talk about a grand jury assigned to young Trump there.
That's right. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has reportedly convened a Washington criminal grand jury to aid investigations into Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election, allowing him to more easily issue subpoenas, gather testimony, and seek indictments. So the panel has been operating in secret for weeks, and the move signals a more intense and long-term phase for the inquiry, which President Donald Trump, whose financial dealings are also being investigated, has decried as a witch hunt. The president's list of friends is dwindling, however, and even congressional Republicans are proposing legislation to protect Mueller from a dismissal from Trump. Reportedly, several Republicans, including Vice President Mike Pence and Ohio Governor John Kasich, are making what appear to be exploratory campaign stops as President Trump's future grows more uncertain. Now, they wouldn't run for president, obviously, until 2020, but they're already checking out the scene.
You know, I actually thought he was going to get off light with this thing, but the more the plot thickens, the more I see that, listen, he is in trouble. He is really, really in trouble. But nonetheless, continuing talking about the Trumps, what about the Trump holiday?
Well, he's in trouble and he's taking a holiday. So burdened with West Wing conflict, the stalled legislative agenda, and a pile of investigations, President Trump departed Washington on Friday afternoon for his Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey, accompanied by his daughter Ivanka and son-in-law Jared Kushner, as well as the aide charged with resetting his chaotic administration, which is new Chief of Staff John F. Kelly. He will spend the next 17 days there, but he insisted on Twitter, quote, working in Bedminster, New Jersey, as long planned construction is being done at the White House. This is not a vacation, meetings and calls, unquote. So far, Trump has spent 13 of 28 weekends in office away from the White House, mostly at his properties in Palm Beach, Florida, or in Bedminster, according to an Associated Press count. Trump also frequently plays golf at his properties, though the White House will typically not acknowledge it. But he's taking meetings and calls.
I wonder,
we know that.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, when I think it was when Barack Obama went for a holiday and played golf, there was a whole uproar. But I'm seeing so many of, I'm talking about the president now, President Trump pictures. I don't know if it's one event that there's different pictures of, but him playing golf quite a lot. But nonetheless, we move on. Let's talk about Wall Street, Wall Street is headed to prison.
Well, maybe not. Former drug company executive Martin Shkreli, could spend years in prison for Friday's investor fraud conviction if the judge focuses on the intended impact of his securities fraud. So you'll remember as the farmer bro. He is the guy who acquired the rights to the rare infection treatment and then raised the prices 5,000% into 2015 so that no one could really afford it. So he's the pharmaceutical investor that everyone loves to hate. So he could avoid prison time due to a strange twist in this case of securities fraud, and that is defrauded investors suffered no loss from his crime. So he was convicted of defrauding investors in his two failed hedge funds, which were MSMB Capital Management and Healthcare Management, by concealing trading losses behind fake account statements. But prosecutors said he eventually paid these investors back with stock or cash from Retrofin Incorporated, which is his biopharmaceutical company that he managed. So he could, however, land in hot water if he doesn't stop on the Twitter. After he was found guilty on Friday, he went on to Twitter and said, quote, "I'm one of the richest New Yorkers there is, and after today's outcome, it's going to stay that way," unquote. And he showed no signs of contrition after the verdict. So the judge couldn't just get him for that.
We wait and see. But you are right. These are the individuals that we just love to hate. I mean, there's no explanation. There can never be an explanation for that other than just greed. Nonetheless, Adrian, thank you so much for joining us this beautiful Monday morning. We'll chat again tomorrow. On Wednesday.
Definitely, yeah. No, Wednesday.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Adrian Bruni, all the way from Manhattan, New York, just giving us the latest updates coming out of the United States.